Oh, we thank God for that church. You know, today is March 4th. And you know, as I was coming, I like making semantics from things that I read, things that I see, and things like that. You know, that's how my mind was made. It just doesn't stop in one place. And I realized that today is March 4th. And if it's March 4th, then you cannot remain in the same place. Your faith cannot remain in the same place. You got to keep marching forward. March 4th. Keep going on, you know. Don't be afraid of the things that you're going to encounter. Don't worry about what is happening around you. Keep going on. The worst that you can do is to remain in the same place. March 4th. March 4th. Sometimes you may be alone. March 4th. Yeah. You look around and there's nobody with you. That's okay. You know, the majority is not always right. March 4th. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we ready to hear the word of God? I am ready. My heart is so ready to hear the word of God. Let's put a hand together for Pastor Tony as he comes to share the word of God.
March 4th. Eh? Wow, that's a nice one. March 4th. Praise the Lord. Did you have a great week? It is good to see the faces of every one of you with the smiling faces. And that tells me that you had a wonderful, wonderful week. Christine, it's nice to see you. How was Kenya? Oh, it is nice. Do you want to come and tell us how the experience just for 1 minute? Come on here. And Eric, it's nice to see you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Christine was in Kenya for about 1 month. And I'd like to give her 1 minute to tell her her experiences in a nutshell, okay?
Praise the Lord. Kenya was really beautiful. I was attending a church called Winner's Chapel, and there was a lot of dancing and singing and dancing and praising, and it was really nice. I had a really good experience. I saw my family, my grandmothers, and they all said hi, and that's all. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to thank God for the opportunity of coming into the house of God and just joining with all of us to celebrate in the presence of the Lord. Amen. How beautiful it is. Veronica, it's nice to see you again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And Daktari, praise the Lord. Good to see you. Praise God. It's always a blessing to see most all of you in the house of God. I'm excited in what the Lord is doing, and if we can just really be sensitive about what the Lord is telling us, He is telling us to march forth. Amen? And I just love that. You know, today is March 4th and we have to march forth. The greatest tragedy for me in 2012 will be in December. If I will be able to look back into my life knowing that this was an year that I have dedicated for us to move forward and to expand my tents and see that I'm still timing at the same place. Praise be to God. But I want us, at least at the end of this year, we will be able to evaluate our lives and we'll be able to look and see, behold, the Lord has crossed me in this valley. The Lord was able to take me through this mountain. I was able to conquer this. I was able to preach to somebody. I was able to witness to somebody. I was able to do, at least I was able to do something to advance the kingdom of God, to advance my personal life. Praise be to God. That is all that we are geared to, and I believe that we shall be blessed. Amen. I strongly believe that the Lord spoke to me in the beginning of the year when I shared with you that the main intention or the thing that the Lord wants us to do is to prepare the place of our tents and expand. Amen. And when I speak about expansion, I don't just speak about financial expansion, even though that is part of it. But I also believe that in our personal goals, in the church, we need to have an expansion of some sort. Praise be to God. The way if you read through, you only read about 30 scriptures in the Word of God, by the end of the year, you would have grown, you would have read so much and aligned and applied ourselves even into the Word of God. Praise be to God. And last Sunday, most of you may not have been here, but we started on a series that I call the Believer's Ministry, the Believer's Role. What is our role even as we begin to expand it, even as we begin to have the thoughts of expanding, when we begin to think about moving forward, when we begin to think about marching forth, there are certain principles and patterns that we need to learn from the Word of God that are going to be significant even in the process of moving forward, because it is not just waking up one day or one morning and thinking that, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to be this, tomorrow I'm going to do this. There are some principles and some certain patterns in the Word of God that we need to familiarize ourselves. And because, you know, the Word of God, God cannot be mocked. And you know what? The fact that we may not know certain principles in the Word of God doesn't mean that those principles will not be applicable even in our lives. And the fact that we may not know those principles will not be an excuse, because those principles have been put in the Word of God to work when we know them. Praise be to God. So it is a tragedy when we do not know the principles that are set for us to advance or to do certain things in the Word of God. And so I believe that the role that the Lord has given me and the role that God has given some of us here is to stand on this pulpit and to challenge us and to start some good works in us so that we can apply the Word of God and the principles that are set in the Word of God for our advancement. Praise be to God. And we were able to check our main text was Ephesians chapter number 4. And I would like us to go there, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. This is a letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he is encouraging them about ministry and about the call of God concerning their lives. Praise be to God. And I would like just to read the first few verses just to remind ourselves what we covered last week, and I believe that we are going to be blessed. Praise be to God. Turn to somebody, tell them, get ready to be blessed. I say turn to the person sitting next to you, tell them, get ready to be blessed. Yes, 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 get ready to be blessed. Amen. The first few verses of the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, the Bible says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called." Somebody said, somebody say, a manner worthy of the calling. All of us have been called into the ministry. And I'll keep on saying this over and over until we get it. Praise be to God. We have all been called into the ministry. Every single one of us has received a call from God to serve in a certain area in the body of Christ. And when I'm talking about the church, I don't just want to limit myself to the Empowerment Christian Center, but I want to stretch myself to the entire body of Jesus Christ. Because I realize that you might move at a certain, maybe at a certain time, you might move and go to a certain place, but you need to plug yourself in a local body and know what your call is. Praise be to God. So it is very, very, very essential for all of us to know that we have all been called into the ministry. Each and every one of us, as long as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you have received a call in ministry. Praise be to God. And the Bible admonishes us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we have been called, with all humility and in gentleness and with patience, showing tolerance for one another. Praise be to God. Walking in a manner worthy of our faith is not just a concept that is easy, but every single moment when you decide to walk in a manner worthy of your call, you invoke attention from the kingdom of the enemy. Because it is as a result of your call or plugging in the call of your ministry, it is as a result of each and every single one of us plugging in what God has called us to do, praise be to God, that is going to cause growth into the body, as we saw last week. When everybody realizes that, you know what, this is the call that I have received, this is my mandate, this is the purpose for my living, And you plug into it and you work the work that the Lord has given you, and every single one works their own area, and everybody works to whatever the Lord has delegated them to do. That is what we call growth in the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the body is not just going to grow. The body of Christ is not just going to grow just because of the working of a few. It is not the work of the pastor who is going to work effortlessly to grow the body. It is not the work of the elders of the church alone that are going to work their responsibilities and the call and that they have received from the Lord to cause the body to grow. But it is going to take the responsibility of each and every one of us to plug in into the call of our area and the call of our ministry to work it out so that the body can grow. Praise be to God. So each and every one of us has received a call and to serve. And as we determine to walk in a manner worthy of our call, there are principles that we need to say. The Lord tells us, number one, to be humble and to be gentle. In order for us to qualify to be as men and women who are walking worthy and in a manner worthy of their call, number one, they have to be what? They have to be gentle. They have to be humble in their call. And the Bible also says, and we have to be, to have patience, showing tolerance with one another in love. When we have been called into the ministry and in the call that we have received from the Lord, God has called us to interact with the people. Amen? There's no way you can tell me or I can tell you that I'm walking in a manner worthy of my call and I am not really depicting the fact that I'm interacting and walking alongside people. Because your call of ministry revolves around people. Praise be to God. You've been called maybe to be an encouragement to somebody. You've been called to show kindness to somebody. You've been called to give alms to somebody. You've been called to be a crying shoulder for somebody. So the call to walk in a manner worthy of your call will involve people. And every moment that the enemy, I told you that the moment you make a decision, this is exactly what the Lord has called me to do, that invokes attention from the kingdom of the enemy, because the enemy knows that when everybody plugs in their area of ministry, that the body of Jesus Christ is going to grow. And so he's going to walk out his demons. He's going to walk out whatever he might want to do to stop you and to distract you from the call, from you pursuing the call of your ministry. Praise be to God. So it's no wonder that when you decide that, you know what, I've been called, you know, to be an encouragement. I've been called even to minister to the poor. I've been called even to minister to the sick in the hospitals. The moment you make even the first step, you will receive opposition from the kingdom of the enemy. You receive destruction from the kingdom of the enemy. And what is the Lord telling us here through Paul? He is encouraging us to have patience and showing tolerance for one another in love. Praise be to God. Are we together up to there? Verse number 3. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the spirit, the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you are called into one hope of your calling. Praise be to God. There's one body and there's one spirit, just as also you, who is you? We, all together, we who are called into one hope of our calling. Praise be to God. Preserving the unity of the spirit. As we walk in a manner worthy of our call, our number one agenda, part of the agenda that the Lord has given us, is to maintain the unity of the spirit. And let me tell you, unity, if you want to know a home that is walking in unity, if you want to see a church that is walking in unity, if you want to see a government, if you want to see any entitlement or any entity that is moving, that is walking or working in unity, number one, there will be love for one another. Praise be to God. The building blocks of unity, are you listening to me? The building blocks of unity is, number one, love for one another. When we love one another, then we can jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see what the Bible talks about loving one another. Praise be to God. What is love? What does the Bible say that love is? Love does not keep a record of wrong. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love is not jealous to one another. Praise be to God. For us to move in unity and to maintain the unity of the Spirit, then we have to love one another. Praise be to God. Number two, we have to maintain the bond of peace with one another. Praise be to God. We have to maintain the bond of peace in order for us to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Praise be to God. Because we've been called into one body and into one Spirit and into one hope. Verse number 5. And also one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Praise be to God. But to each one of us, somebody say us. But to each one of us, it's not just delegated to a few people. It's not just to the pastor. It is not just to the elders of the church. It's not just to the head of the departments that we have in the ministry. But to each one of us includes us, everybody. Us, to each one of us, has received a measure of grace. Praise be to God. You have received a measure of grace to perform a specific task. Somebody say task. You've been called to do something in the kingdom of God. I strongly believe, and with the whole of my heart, that God intentionally created you for his own glory. That is the number one thing that God did. That when God looks at you, he is just marveled at what he did. And actually the Bible says that when he created man, he stepped back and he sees and he said, it is good. Praise be to God. So when God looks at you, you are the glory of God. Hallelujah. God feels good when he thinks about you, when he looks at you, and when he thinks about what he can do for you. He is excited when he is interacting with you because he made you to be his own glory. But I also strongly believe, Eric, that God created you to be a blessing to somebody else. And I thank God for what Julia said. God created you for the sake of others as well. You are a gift to somebody else. Praise be to God. I strongly believe that when God blesses me with finances, it is not only for my own sake and for my own family, but I believe it so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. I can be a blessing to the body of Jesus Christ, and I can extend those blessings that the Lord has given me. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish we can get this, because this is very, very, this is going to be the basis of our growing our ministry here. If we want to go somewhere, it is not just going to be the responsibility of our sister. It's not just going to be the responsibility of our brother, not our brother here or the pastor. But it is going to take the involvement of everybody, knowing that we have been called into the ministry. Are you listening to me? And when everybody plugs in, as we are going to see later in the Word of God, when everybody, number one, plugs in what God has called them to do, and we are joined with each other, then the body is going to grow. Are you listening to me, church? Praise be to God. So we have to plug in and know what God has called us to do, and know that even in doing so, and even in walking in the manner worthy of our faith, that there are certain things that the Lord has called us to do. Number one, he has called us to be gentle. He has called us to be humble in our dealings with the people. We are supposed to bear with one another. And as we walk in the manner worthy of our calling, we need to know that the enemy is up in arms against our developing that which God has given us. I listened to a message sometime of another preacher. I think it must have been T.D. Jakes. And he was talking about brands. You know, brand, B-R-A-N-D. And when I think about a brand, you know, I'm thinking about Nike, you know. Some of you or some of us go to the shop, you pay a premium to buy a Nike shoe. Why? Because a Nike shoe, it has been built nicely to be comfortable on your shoes, right? And then people promote their brand. There are some brands that you know that, you know, if you buy a jacket, you know, sometimes it has a label of the manufacturer or the brand of that coat. And many times we don't want to remove it because we want everybody to know that, hey, you know what, as you see me, what I'm putting on, I'm having this brand. Why? Because that brand is known, right? And this preacher preaching, it really was a blessing. I believe it must have been T.D. Jakes. He was saying that we need to know what our brand is. When God created you, he created you unique and original, and to perform a specific task that is unique to everybody else. And so when you know what your brand is, you can go promoting it and knowing that in the whole universe, there's no one who has that brand. Praise be to God. And your brand, it is essential for me, because in the whole universe, I will never find any other brand that is supposed to be a blessing to me. And I need that brand in order to be blessed, to be a blessing to me. You need my brand so that I can be a blessing to you. So I cannot do this alone. I cannot, when I don't find you, it grieves me, because I know you stand and you work a specific work that I need, that I need in order for me to promote the ministry. Praise be to God. When everybody plugs in, when you know what you've been called. My goal is, if I can point it to you, that you have been called to serve into the ministry, and you have been called, you have received a call of ministry. If I can point it to you, and that you know exactly what you've been called for, then you're going to plug in and you're going to seek the scriptures and you're going to seek the Lord so that he can show you what you've been called to do. And when you know what you're going to, what you've been called to do, then you're going to commit to it and propagate the work of the ministry. Praise be to God. When I know what I've been called to do, I'm going to excel and promote my brand, whatever it's going to take, so that I can grow and so that I can be a blessing to you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives. And we read that last week also in verse number 10. He who descended himself also, he also ascended up above, above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. I love that. You know, he's talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he had to go into the Hades and he has to resurrect. And when he ascended up, he had to give, he offered some gifts. Verse number 10, he who descended is himself also he who ascended far above, above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Verse number 11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers. And we are going to explain this even as we go along, but just for the sake of this passage, I just want you to see that, you know, there are some that have been called out of the body, and God has delegated them and given them some ministry, some to be apostles, and some have been given to be prophets, and some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. For what? Verse number 12, for the equipping of, somebody say all. For the equipping of all the saints for the work of service. The reason why God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers the fivefold ministry is for equipping of the saints for the work of service. Praise be to God. God did this very intentionally. He is very, very intentional that we all participate in the building up of the body of Christ. And to know that this responsibility of building up the body of Christ is not just delegated. Only, it's not supposed to be only delegated to a few people, just the pastors or the elders of the church. And you know what? As we saw last week, you know, this has been borrowed from the Dark Ages, whereby there was a very distinct separation from the lady and the deity. And you know what the Dark Ages brought distorted the original structure of how a church is supposed to operate, whereby now the deity kind of lifted themselves and thought that, you know what, I'm the only one who is supposed to learn this, and the lady is just supposed to come to church and preach to them and they go home and everything is done. But that's not what the intention of the Lord. The intention of the Lord is that everybody matures up, even as we're going to see, that everybody matures up, even in their most holy faith, so that they can do the work of the ministry. Praise be to God. I'm going to give you a challenge today. You go memorize a few verses and go share them with somebody. You may not have been called a preacher, but you're sharing with somebody. Somebody who does not even know you. You know the first thing that they might tell you? Oh, are you a pastor? Are you a minister? Because it is traditionally, we have developed this idea that, you know what, only a specific crowd of people within our body ought to mature. Praise be to God. But God has called each and every one of us to mature in the things of God. Amen? I'm supposed to study this word much as everyone else here in the church. the way I study my word, the way I read my Bible, the way whatever I do, even for the sake of the Christian service, we all ought to do the same. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are you really getting something? Sure. Verse number 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man and to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. God gave these fivefold ministries until we all attain to the unity of faith, the unity of faith, so that when the prophets come, when the evangelists come, when the apostles come, they will be able to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. They will be able to make sure that we are all aligned in our faith, so that nobody believes in a certain doctrine while others are believing in a certain doctrine, because when that happens, there's going to be collision. There's going to be confusion in the body, and that's going to impede growth. So, number one, the reason why he gave the apostles and this fivefold ministry is so that they can prepare the saints to walk in the unity of faith. Praise be to God. That's number one. To walk in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man and to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So as long as we have not attained those things that are recorded in verse number 14, we are always going to have the fivefold ministries. Praise be to God. Because that's their responsibility. Until everybody, they don't believe in a certain Jesus that was never preached in the Bible, and so that we don't have other people that believe in a certain Christ that is preached in another place, but we all come together in the oneness of faith. Because when we are united, as I told you, we can go somewhere. Do you know what happened in the Tower of Babel? Do you know what happened? Come on, Bible scholars. In the Tower of Babel, what happened? They said, you know what? We want to see where God lives, yeah? They were speaking the same language. And they were able to be united. They brought blocks together and they were building up the tower. And do you know what God said? Huh? What did God say? If these people are united, there is nothing that is going to be impossible for them. Hallelujah. Think of what happens. If a home is united, if a husband, a woman, a wife, and the children are united, if a church is completely united, joined together by the bonds of peace and love, my goodness, there is nothing that is impossible for them to accomplish. That is God who said so. When he saw them building up the Tower of Babel, they were planning to go. They were so curious. I love this man. They were curious. They wanted to know where God lives. And God said, you know what? I see them. They're united. They have one language. And God had to confuse their language in order to distort them. Something happens when you're united, church. Listen to me. And we are not going to tolerate anybody who's, we are going to be very, very alert for things. We need to be very, very alert for the things that come to distort our unity. Because you know what disunity does? It distracts you. You try to bring chaos even in your place of work. When people try to bring chaos at a place of work, there's destruction. When there's chaos in the home, disunity is displaced, there is destruction. You cannot move forward. When there is disunity in the church, there is destruction. You cannot move forward. Unity is power. And we cannot afford to just throw it in the dustbin. We're going to preserve the bonds of peace and the bonds of love for one another. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Man, there's something that Paul wrote to Timothy. And this scripture was given to me by one of our sisters here in the church and really encouraged me. And I'm going to read this to you because it's very, very profound. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Is there anybody who has it? Chapter number 4, verse number 1 to about 4. Find it in my Bible. This is Paul writing to Timothy. Can somebody find it? Somebody found it? Yeah, can you read it? Oh, she already found it on our phone. Number five.
But watch thou in all things, and your afflictions, through the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry.
Praise be to God. Do you know what it says there? The word that catches me up there? Endure hardship. Ministry is hard work. Praise be to God. For anybody who is born again, you need to know that you have a call. And for you to adjudicate and to activate that call of ministry is going to be hard work. Praise be to God. The Bible, Paul encourages Timothy and he tells him, endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. That was his call at the time. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Praise be to God. We have to fulfill our what? Our ministry. And it is going to take hard work. We have to bear with one another. Praise be to God. With patience. It is not going to be easy. I wish it would tell us, oh, you know what? It's going to be easy. Do not worry about everything. Once you plug into the ministry, everybody will be even saluting you and telling you, yes, sir. Everything will be just, you know, don't worry about it. But ministry is tough. Ministry is hard work. It is a lot of sacrifice. You'll be called to go into a meeting when you're not supposed even to go, when you have other things to do. You've been called to make some money when you've been called to go and minister somewhere. But just because the Lord called you to go and minister, you choose to go and minister because it is hard work. Church, I'm telling you, in order for this work to grow, or anybody to grow, any section of a local body to grow, it takes hard work. It will take the sacrifice for, you know, everybody's sacrifice to work their work. And I am telling you, church, it is not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. There's going to be opposition. What are we going to do when we are opposed and when opposition comes? We have to know that this is part of the legacy that the Lord has called us. And every mighty man that we know in the Bible, Paul, as significant as he was, he faced many challenges, even almost being drowned. Can you imagine that? The guy may went, in fact, I've read some scripture and I wonder, I don't know whether I could do that. I wonder whether anybody really can do what Paul did. Went many days without food, even in the open sea, trying to go and propagate the gospel into other areas. Almost drowned without even food. And sometimes he learned, in fact, the Bible says, I learned to do without and I learned to live with things. If I didn't have those things, it was still okay. But if I had them, it was still okay. Are we able to come into that point of ministry whereby if you don't have the finances, you still can serve God? You know, when you don't have even something in your home to give to your children, yet you shall still glorify God. Because I know there are some people in our church here today, sometimes you don't have anything at your home. You don't even have enough money even to pay your bills. But even in the midst of those situations that you cannot even share with people, do you know, let me tell you, there are certain things that we go through, man, and you don't tell people about. Things that only you know that really, God, I don't know what I'm going to do in this area. It could be a financial problem. It could be a thing that's really troubling you. But even in the midst of that, let me tell you, God is in there. And he has never moved an inch from you. And he is seeing you through. God, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Church, let me tell you. You could be maybe waiting for about $1,000 to do a certain thing. And you know that if I don't do this thing, it can put me in serious, serious problem. Happened to me just recently. I needed almost a certain amount of money. And day in, day out, I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I knew, God, if I don't do this, I don't know what. God, protect me, hide me. He is able to hide you. If you can wait and tarry and wait for him, he will come through. And he wants to prove that it is not by your ability that you are able to have that which you need at this particular moment. Church. And sometimes I cannot even share with my even closest body, even share with anybody, because I know they may not understand. But God comes because you wait for him at the nick of time. From nowhere, he comes and surprises you and gives you exactly the money that you needed. And you're able to pay whatever you needed to pay. And you're able to say, God, thank you, because you protected me. You hid me. Oh, God, thank you. I live for you. I have a testimony, church. Ministry is hard work. It's not going to be easy, because the moment you begin to trend on the ground and you begin to move forward, we checked the other day, pressing forward and looking forward towards the mark of perfection. Things are not going to be easy. You're going to endure. The enemy will even try to come and take off your finances. Things have been working on for you. You've been paying your bills right every time at the end of the month. But just because you decided to serve the Lord, he begins to work on your finances, to remove your finances from you, cause and destruction from your life. But if you can, if you do not, if you can just tarry in there and wait upon God, surely, God, I have a testimony to tell you, God can come through. For you, will come through for you. Do not give up. Do not give up. Just tarry. Stay there. He will come through for you. Because ministry is a sacrifice and it's hard work. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good, church. Amen. I'm here to encourage you that for this work of the ministry to grow, that is going to take the efforts of each and everybody. There's no way that you can plug in on what you don't know. Number one, you have to be aware that you have been called into the ministry, and it's not just delegated to just a few people. You know, we cannot take maids even from the dark ages, when the Bible tells us that we have to be mature. And you know what? This is the sense, you know, the mentality that you have received, that only the pastor, only the elders of the church need to study the Bible so much because they're the one who ought to come and minister to us through the word. No. We've been all been called to work towards that maturity. I'm supposed to come and stand here and offer direction to what you're supposed to, where you're supposed to go. And in the evening, just check on your scriptures, study and be to study yourself to be approved. Praise be to God. So that you can propagate the word of the Lord. Verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Verse number 16, and we checked on this one, and then we can move on. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Did you see that in your Bible? From whom the whole body being fitted and held together. We are all members of what? Of the body of? Oh, come on, talk to me, church. Are you bored? Okay, we are all members of what? One body, okay? And we have been linked up from the head. The head is Christ, and we have been all linked up together. Praise be to God. And the Bible says, listen to this, it's very powerful, by the way. I wouldn't like anybody to miss this. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Praise be to God. So we are all joined together as members of one body. Each specific organ performing specific responsibility. A foot doing its job, the eye performing its job, the ear performing its job, the internal organs, each and every one of those organs performing their own responsibilities. We are all joined together as one body. And the Bible says, from which every joint supplies. And you cannot supply out of which you don't have. God has called each and every one of us to be a supplier. You have some products within us. We have some products. You have a product that is called kindness. You have a product that is called encouragement. You have a product that is called meekness. You have a product that is called whatever it is in the body of Christ. And you manufacture, you are a warehouse that manufactures that product. And so when we are joined together as members of one body, you're supposed, because of your perfect working, your proper working, you are supposed to produce that which you've been manufacturing and pass it through the joint to the other person. Hallelujah. So if Pastor Francis here has been working his deal, you've been called to reach out and to be a blessing. Why is everybody not in church today? And you're calling everybody. And you've been producing that hunger. Oh, I'm thirsty. I'm zealous to see people grow. I'm zealous to see the people come into the house of God. I'm zealous to see. I'm joined together with you. And so out of your production, from the joint that holds us together, you're able to supply to me. Praise be to God. And as you supply me, I also supply you. Praise be to God. Just because you're so much, you're perfecting your element, you're perfecting your brand, and I'm perfecting my brand, and I'm perfecting my element, then we are able to supply each other, and that's how the body is going to grow. Are you listening to me? So how is the body not going to grow? The body is not going to grow when we are joined with each other, and I don't receive the supply, and I will not receive the supply if you're not manufacturing the goods. Hallelujah. So you have to produce the goods so that you can supply me and I can also supply you so that the body can grow. Empowerment Christian Center will always grow when you as a person knows your element and branding and you do it in a proper way and without worrying who is on your side or on your left. And then when we are joined together, we are able to supply each other, and that's how this church is going to grow. I wish everybody can get this. This church is not going to grow because the elders or the pastor is going to, you know, let me tell you, if most pastors would really do what they do under the description of most members of most congregations, they would fail. And that's why many, I told you, that's why many, don't worry about this preacher here. Don't worry about her. Hey, okay, I think I worry about you when you go to the microphone. It's a beauty. Okay, listen. Most preachers are quitting ministry today, and most people also are refusing to come to the people because people fail to recognize where they're supposed to plug in. But let me tell you, church, listen very carefully. If I know my role, and I'm going to tell you what my role is. My role is to offer protection to the body, to be an overseer of a body. To oversee doesn't mean that I need to bulldoze over you to tell you, you do this or you do that. No. The Lord has called me to be a servant. Praise be to God. My role is just a little bit more. But there's nothing to be, let me tell you, when God looks at us, at the body, the local body of Empowerment Christian Center, he doesn't see me as unique more than you. Because you know why I'm saying that? When I go to pray, when I kneel down here, I call on the same Jesus you also call. When I flip on my Bible, it's the same 1 Peter chapter 2, number 3. Verse number 3. That's the same verse that you read this morning. And I trust God the same way to give me a revelation, the way you trust God. I don't have a special corner with God that, you know, that I'm so favored more than you are, because you also are in the ministry. And there's nothing, there's no organ that the Lord looks down on or he looks down on other than other organs. Everything is so essential, because a body without any piece of organ is not a complete body. If you see a man walking without ears, you'd really be wishing that they receive a miracle, to receive some ears or something. Yeah? And I strongly believe that when one part of your body is sore, like for example, when your eye is sore, the Lord would come to heal that body, not necessarily for that particular eye, but for the sake of the whole. Praise be to God. Because when God heals the eye, he heals the eye because the eye is sore. But also, the eye needs to be whole so that it can also work for the benefit of the whole body. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So when one organ is really limping, we really need to all of us. Let me tell you, man, one day I'll serve some birds. I don't know what they call them, but this is the birds are in Texas. Many of them, especially during spring, black birds, you know, they're everywhere. They eat everything. What are the name of those birds? Huh? Jaybirds? Man, they walk in flocks, you know? Let me tell you, one day I was just observing these birds. They're called jaybirds. That's what I understand, jaybirds. One of the, what was happening with that bird, it could not fly. It could not fly. It was kind of like injured. And every time it tried to fly, it was flipping its wings, and it was kind of injured. But it was actually kind of, you know, I would tell that it was a mature bird. And what was very, very interesting, man, I saw all these birds coming. They were like singing to it. And they were surrounding it. And I wondered, God, who gave this intelligence to these birds? It's like they're saying, you can make it, you can make it, you can make it. And they would not go. They would. I would see some would fly, and they would come, and they would kind of like a perform a dance. In fact, I think I need to investigate to learn about those birds, seriously. They were kind of like telling you, oh, we mourn you. You're going to be okay. And there are many. And they don't even have intelligence. I wondered, guy, how do they do this? Seriously. I mean, they're coming and dancing, and it's like cheering, and, well, no, we cannot leave you. You know, it's like, what is going to happen now if we leave you here? And these are just little, let me tell you, God teaches us even through you know, little things. Have you ever watched the ants? Have you ever watched the ants? The ants are so organized, you know. There are some armies that you dare touch one of them. They release some chemicals and tell other ants that, you know what, it is war. And let me tell you, if you try to just go play around with an ant hole, better be careful, because they are just going to send a signal. And sooner or later, if you don't move, you're going to be in pains. You're going to be beaten so much. Why? Because God uses the natural things that we see to tell us that it is possible. We are supposed to care for one another, not tear one another. We are supposed to watch out for the limping so that we can pray for them and be a crying shoulder for them, not tearing them, not killing them. Are you listening to me? We are members of one body. Oh, hallelujah. If people in the world, if there are people in other churches that are joined together to be a blessing to each other, why can't we in empowerment, it is possible even at empowerment to be a blessing to one another. If people can do big things in other churches, we are also members of the body of Jesus Christ. We also can do it in Empowerment Christian Center. Through the bonds of love and peace, we can maintain unity amongst ourselves and be watchful for things that will distract us. Because serving God, I told you, church, is not going to be easy. There's going to be so many challenges that we are going to encounter. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In the New Testament, there are about 27 books. And out of the 27 books, four of those books are the Gospels. Now, the Gospels proclaim who Jesus was. It's talk about the Gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the four Gospels, and then we have the 23 of the remaining books are letters. And these letters are addressed not to individuals. What I'm trying to say here is that your personal or individual output is for the benefit of a whole body, for the sake of the whole body. And God, when even in the Old Testament, God never spoke to a few bunch of people to perform specific tasks. He spoke to the body, the children of Israel, corporate body. He spoke to the whole lot. Praise be to God. Much as our individual output is necessary for us to articulate and know what we've been called to do, it is, at the end of the day, for the benefit of the entire body. Kimodo, praise be to God. So, out of the 23 books that we have in the New Testament, 16 of them are letters addressed to the saints. Praise be to God. 16 of them are specifically addressed to the saints. Hmm. They're addressed to us, to saints in Galatia, to the saints in Ephesians, to the saints in other parts in Thessalonica, to the saints. And every time Paul, who is actually the writer of this epistles, is encouraging the saints and stirring them to do the work of the ministry. Praise be to God. So the thing is, and my point here is, whatever God has called you to do in the ministry is for the sake of the entire body. It is very, very important, therefore, for us to recognize and realize and know what our call of ministry is. So if you've been called to be a worshiper, worship like you never worshiped before. If God has called you to be a leader like you've never been a leader before. If God has called you to be a pastor, fit in, study the scriptures, pray for the people. Praise be to God. Do the work of the ministry the way the Lord required it, because it is out of your proper working. When we are joined together, even as we are joined together in the body of Jesus Christ, that we will be able to supply, and the body is going to grow. This church is a very small church, you know, for us to see it like this, and for maybe you've been having feelings, why don't we grow? Why don't we have many people coming into the church? Why? But you know what? It's not going to take the work of the pastor alone. It is not the work of the elders alone. I will come and teach and train you and stir up some good work into you to know that you have a part to pray, and then you'll go out there and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen? You'll be an encouragement to somebody. You'll be able to tell somebody that it can work. You'll be able to tell somebody that this is exactly what God has called me to do. And we'll be able to activate and to work and to grow the work of the ministry. Are we together? I know you've heard this over and over and over again, but I'll continue telling you this because it's very, very important. Whether it is in your home, whether it is in your work, whether it is in the church here, it is going to take the individual output of everybody and to fit in your element and do what the Lord has called you to do so that the body can grow. So in all these 16 letters that have been addressed, they have been addressed to the saints, stirring up the saints in different parts of the areas where they were addressed to stir them up for the work of the ministry. Now, there are certain things that few things that we'll be able to mention here, and I'll be able to conclude about what people feel about ministry. You know, people feel they see something like as a small thing, and they fail to jump in because something is a small thing. I don't know what God has called you. I remember when I was called into the ministry, I didn't know much. I just had given my life to Jesus. But all I knew is that God had called me to serve. And I remember God took me into this big church. There were many people there. And I didn't know many people there. And I remember one pastor who came and told me he was really curious about who I was and where I'd gone to school and things of that nature. And he told me, you know what, you can plug in. You can come and serve the Lord. And let me tell you, man, we started joining up with the youth of the church. I was not even picked up to be a leader of those churches, but I told them after the service, we'd go clean up the whole place. We'd go sweep it. We didn't have even vacuum cleaners. We'd go sweep and we'd go dust everywhere. And I'd mobilize the young people. We'd go, like especially during weddings, we'd go clean up and wash the utensils. I mean, I even have those pictures today I see and I say, wow, you know? And I was doing this without even knowing what I was doing. And I was able to mobilize quite a bit, you know, a big, big youth group. And then we went ahead and we would go evangelize. We would go clean. In fact, every Saturday, we would come clean up the church. We would never, even without being told anything by the leaders, we would come and clean up. It was the responsibility of the young people. And let me tell you, I continue to do this, and we continue to serve, and we continue. In fact, I was reminding my wife about that. And we continue to grow the ministry. The youth group grew. It grew actually almost 70% of the entire church, which was about 2,000. Young men just began to come and teaming up with us. And we were doing things, man. We were doing things for the Lord. And eventually, the bishop called me. The bishop who came here one day and told me, Tony, I've observed what you're doing. And I'm not just saying this to blow my own trumpet. I've observed how you've been serving the Lord. And I would like you to be serving as a pastor in this church. I said, what? I don't even know what to be a pastor is all about, you know. And I was not even married, you know. And finally, I found myself serving in the team. And that did not inhibit me. We continued serving the Lord and serving the Lord and serving the Lord. You know what? Let me tell you. It may have started by just cleaning the floor. But I didn't look down on cleaning the floor. Praise be to God. Some of you, God will call you maybe to be an encourager to somebody. You know? There are people, just look around you. Around you, there are people who are in need of ministry. People who are hurting. And people who have been neglected. People who other people don't want to waste time with them because they are a nag or a bother. It could be maybe the sick. It could be maybe the elderly. Do not despise the humble beginnings. It might be serving me a glass of juice, Sister Wanja. And the Lord sees that, and you're doing it in excellence of heart, and you're doing it with the whole of your heart. That will be, it's the beginning of great things that the Lord, let me tell you, when you get involved in the ministry, somebody, God will line up somebody to notice you. And you open up a door, a greater door that I cannot even be able to tell you, to pursue and to be in ministry. Ask any great men that you know about, they started in a little way. Do not despise humble beginnings. Ministry is nothing else than putting a hand, your right hand over somebody and telling them it is going to be okay. Encouraging them, telling them things are going to be all right in spite of the things that you're going through. So do not despise humble beginnings. What is it that the Lord has been calling you to do at Empowerment Christian Center? Is it teaching the Sunday school and you know that the Lord has spoken to you for many, many days but you despised it? Is it maybe starting a hospital ministry and you felt it, maybe you needed to talk to somebody so that we can start going to the hospital and ministering to the sick? Is it maybe evangelism, maybe doing something, maybe organizing something that will bring people together, people who are not born again so that we can tell them about Jesus? What is it? Because I know as long as you have been coming to this church, I'm sure that the Lord, the Spirit of God may have spoken something to you. What is it that the Lord spoke to you? Do not despise it. Is it singing? Like the young Wamboi, she's always wanted to come and sing. Do not despise what you've been doing here, Sister Wamboi. Do you listen to me, girl? Do not despise it. We need to encourage her. Maybe one of these fine days, you're going to see her on CNN being interviewed with high personalities. Just because she has decided. It all begins here at the altar. At the altar. You may not do it perfectly. You may be having so many flaws, but do it anyway. You may not be perfect in what you've been called to do, but do it anyway. It is in doing it over and over and over. Are you listening to me, to church? It is doing it over that you perfect your brand. You're going to perfect your element through doing it over and over. Not so many of you, we have been Sunday school teachers. And I'm sure when we called you to be Sunday school teachers, you were scared the first time. Because you've never been a Sunday school teacher. But now that you've been teaching the Sunday school, you've perfected it over because you've been doing it over and over again. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. The other thing, and then one of the things that would cause us not to step up in ministry is because you're scared to deal with people. Not so many people. I know people who are scared. They don't want to deal with people. But as I told you, for you to be involved in ministry, there's no alternative. There's no other way you have to deal with people. God can give you the grace to deal with people. And so some of us have failed to step in because you're just scared dealing with people. You have to deal with people. Stepping up in ministry, you have to deal with people. So don't be scared dealing with people. Praise be to God. Number three, and I have one more and then we're going to conclude. You've not been called to do everything in the church. Some of us are scared because when you have been called into the ministry, you've seen pastors do almost everything. I believe it's even pastors have not been called to do everything in the church. The elders of the church have not been called to do everything in the church. Don't get scared because when you are called into the ministry, you've been called to perform a specific task. Praise be to the Lord. And lastly, the fear of not knowing anything. I don't know anything, everything. Praise be to God. Even in ministry, not everybody knows everything. We are deluded by this fact, you know, because when an answer is posed to a pastor, he seems to know everything. Nobody is expected to know everything. But as we continue to carry on the duties of our ministry through inquiry and through experience, we are going to know that the Lord is going to help us. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Stand on your feet right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful. I pray that, Father God, we shall come to a point to realize that we've all been called into the ministry. Lord, I pray that even as we continue to serve you, that you shall put the heart of meat into every single one of us and the essence and the thing that we need to all be stirred up, Lord, to know that we've been called to perform a specific task in the body of Christ. I believe that when you called us, Lord, even to you called us, even to yourself, you called us so that we can serve you. We are supposed to be a blessing, a gift to each other. Father, help us, Lord, that we may be producers and suppliers, Lord, in our area of operation. And in places where, Father, we have failed to produce, Lord, show us where we went, where we did it wrong, or where we went astray and that we have failed to produce, Lord. Show us, Lord, the component within us, Lord, that has broken down, that need to be fixed so that we can begin to produce yet again, Father, and be suppliers to one another. Lord, you've told us this is the pattern of growth in the church, that when we supply to each other, then we are going to grow. And the body eventually is going to grow, Lord. Father, I know there are some in our midst, Father, who might be looking down on themselves. And they may have disqualified themselves, Father, several times, thinking that they're not even worthy jumping or doing or performing a specific task. Father, I pray that you shall completely delude these lies from the devil, because no part is insignificant, Lord, but every part is essential. And every organ ought to perform what they're being called to perform for the betterment of the whole body. I pray that you shall line us up, Lord, in one faith, Lord, just as you are in us and you are in all and through us, Lord. Call to one baptism, one faith, and one hope in the name of Jesus. I pray that it shall be the goal of every single one of us, Lord. Father God, even to pursue maturity, Lord, and especially to be completely nourished by the word of God and apply ourselves into the word of God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father. Let this be the goal and the prayer for each and every one of us. And be glorified in our lives, oh God. In all that we do in our activities, Lord, I pray that you shall be glorified in the name of Jesus. Being in that mood of prayer, you might be in this auditorium, never given your life to Jesus. And you want to say, Lord, I lift up my hand. I want to allow you into my heart. I want you to come and save me. You might be that kind of a person. You've never given Jesus a chance, an opportunity to come into your heart. And you're telling him, Lord, I surrender. I want to give you this opportunity to open up your heart so that the Savior can come in and be your Lord and Savior. Lift up your hand right now. If you might be in this place, never given your life to Jesus, and you want to declare that, Lord, this is the day that I want to surrender my life to you, lift up your hand right now. I'm going to pray with you. You might be sick in your body or need a miracle. Just lift up your hand. I'm going to pray with you right now. Is there anybody who needs a touch from the Lord? Just lift up your hand. You don't even have to tell me what it is, but you only know what it is. And you know, you cry out to the Father. The Father knows even those things that are secretly hidden in your life, the passions and the things that you might be struggling with. Lift up your hand right now. The Lord knows everything. And I'm going to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray even for those hands that are lifted up right now. Father God, the Bible tells me that you know everything. You don't need to learn anything new concerning us, Father, because you created us, Lord. We are the handiwork of your. We are the result of your work, Father. You know us ins and outs. And I pray that you may reach out, Lord, even to those hands. You know what their pleas are. You know what their petitions are. Father, come through, be it financial, be it sickness, be it otherwise, come through for them, Lord, that you be glorified in their lives. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. We thank you because you come through for them. You've really come through for them. We pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Everybody say it, amen. Amen.